Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Amen. That just reminded me of, I love that story, Francesca. That reminded me of when I was a kid tithing off of birthday money. And that's how I got started. But it's true. When you begin to kind of train yourself in the small things, then it's not a big deal when you move on to bigger things. The truth of the matter is, if you can't tithe, you can't tithe off of $10, you won't tithe off $100,000. So God allows us to learn in the small things, and then we graduate to bigger and bigger things. Can we give Francesca a big hand? What an amazing word last week. So awesome, so awesome, so awesome. And we have emotions. Man, this series has been so great talking about the dysfunctionality that the enemy tries to throw at us. And ever since the garden and sin getting involved, things got messy. And things got out of touch. But before we get into that today, I just want to say thank you to Sister Maxine and Sister Maria and who else was on the team? Miss D and Kendi and Jessica and everybody that put together the amazing book launch event last night. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. For those that missed it, you guys see a little bit of the overflow today, but we had Apostle was here speaking. Minister Margaret was speaking about her book. Minister Kendi was talking about her book, and I was talking about my book that I just released, I Want It Now. And just so many great revelations, so many great books. And make sure that you get a hold of some of these books. They will change your life and really, really give you the viewpoint that God is saying on some of these things. Before we get into the word today, let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord. You know the journey that you have us all on today. I thank you that you would speak to our hearts. God, let us hear what you want us to hear today. And anything else that is just the flesh, God, let that just fall away. And God, let us just hear what we need to hear today. God, to be more fruitful in our life, to be more successful in our life, to be more blessed. God, and even if you need to challenge us in areas or correct us in areas, God, let us receive that, God, so that we can be all that we can be in the purpose that you've destined us to be. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So we've been talking about this concept of being dysfunctional. This whole series is about the dysfunctionality, and it started in the garden. It started when sin entered in, and when sin entered in, it caused things not to function the way they're supposed to function. God designed us perfect. God designed us fully functional, but when sin entered in, things got messy. Today, I want to talk about what happens in our thought life. Today, I want to talk about the thought hack. The thought hack, and this is what the enemy does to us to cause us to have dysfunctional thinking. And I want to start right here in Proverbs 23:7. Psalms is a good book. We're not reading from there right now. Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he or she thinks in his or her heart, so is he. And this is important because we become what we think. So if the enemy begins to hack our thoughts, it changes our outcome. It changes our destiny. It changes the way we live our life if he changes our thought life. So you will become the image you have of yourself in your mind. You will become the image. So if you are believing in your mind what God is saying about you, guess what you're going to become? What God is saying about you. But if you're believing what the enemy is saying about you, guess what? If you come into agreement with that thought, that's what you're going to become, what the enemy says. So we have to understand, as a person thinks, that's what they're going to become. And another important part of this is the devil can't make you do anything. A lot of times we put things off on the devil that really isn't his jurisdiction, you know. It's, oh, the devil made me do it. You know, I'm sorry. That was not me. No, it was you. You did it. You did it. Own up. You did it. The devil can't make you do anything. The devil can't make you hurt somebody. The devil can't make you say something nasty. No, that was just you. The devil can't make you steal something. No, that was just you. But the thing that the enemy does is he plants thoughts in our minds. And if we agree with that thought long enough, he begins to convince us that that thought is the right thing to do. That that thought is true and everything else is not true. We begin to believe things. We begin to believe a lie about ourselves. We begin to believe a lie about how to live our lives, and that becomes our reality. So what areas of our life, our thought life, are dysfunctional today? Where has our thoughts been hacked? It's been happening since the garden. And let me tell you something, it's nothing new. It's a strategy that the enemy uses over and over and over again to hack your thought life. The devil can't make you do anything, but he can give you some thoughts about yourself, about others, about life, about your purpose. And if you believe and if you agree with those thoughts, it will determine your reality. There is a war in your mind. Will you stay in a dysfunctional place because of all the thoughts the devil has introduced, or will you begin to believe something different? Will you begin to address those dysfunctions? Everything the devil does isn't spooky, right? You know, sometimes we think the devil, ooh, everything is spooky. But actually, he uses some very common things in our lives to introduce thoughts, right, that are contrary to how God wants us to live, right? So the devil will introduce thoughts through movies. He'll introduce thoughts through music. He'll introduce thoughts when you're binge watching that next TV series. He'll introduce thoughts when you're watching the news. And so if you agree with those thoughts, they will cause you to have a dysfunctional thought process. And that dysfunctional thought process will make your life dysfunctional in those areas. So what thoughts we agree with will determine if we live a functional or dysfunctional life. And just as the Holy Spirit can give thoughts to you, the spirit of the enemy can also give thoughts to you. That's why the scripture tells us to take captive the thoughts. Why would we need to take captive thoughts if the enemy couldn't give us thoughts? Yes, the enemy can give you thoughts. And a lot of times he gives them to you common ways, like we just said. You know, one important thing to look at when you're saying, okay, let me evaluate my thought life, is how much actually of scripture, how much of God's thoughts are you getting into your mind versus how much of everything else, right? If we're to be honest, like how much, you know, music are we listening to? You know, that's not worship music. And how much movies and TV shows that are basically extolling all these worldly virtues in contrast to how much we're reading scripture or we're talking about the things of God. Because if it's way out of balance, there's your dysfunction right there. Because whatever you plant, you're going to reap. If I sow this into my thought life, guess what I'm going to reap? I'm going to reap dysfunction if I sow dysfunction. So a lot of people, they get surprised. But you're not reading your Bible during the week. You binge watch the TV series. You listen to music all week. But you listen to one sermon on Sunday. That's why it's dysfunctional. You got to get more of God's thoughts in your mind. It's out of balance. That sense of being out of balance will cause dysfunction. And so if you're thinking about all these perversions of life, if you're always thinking about the value system of the world, that's going to become your thought culture. If you fill your mind up with godly ideas, reading the Word, listening to podcasts, listening to worship song here, going to a Bible study there, talking to friends about the things of God, then those things are going to become your thought culture. And it's going to cause you to be blessed. It's going to cause you to be high capacity. It's going to cause you to live the life that God would have for you. Feed your mind more of God and your mind will become more functional and more powerful. Feed your mind more junk and your mind will become dysfunctional. It's like the body. If you put junk food in, guess what? It's going to be dysfunctional, right? You're going to have health issues. You're not going to look strong. You're not going to be strong if you just eat junk all the time. But if you put the best stuff into your body, guess what you're going to get? A healthy body, a strong body, a body that's operating at full capacity. But that comes from putting the right stuff in. I'm not putting junk into my body, so my body is functional. It's fully functional. The same thing is true about the mind. If we continue to put junk in our mind, why do we expect that we're going to have this amazing, robust thought life that's functional, that's godly? No, your mind isn't godly because you're not putting godly stuff in. You know, I love old castles. When we travel, Pastor Curtin and I, we like to visit like historic places, and a lot of times we'll find some place, and we like to look at castles, but at the core of a castle, it's really like just a fortification, right? That a king or a lord or somebody that was important, they had to make sure to protect themselves and their immediate people around them. They wanted to have a place that was fortified, a stronghold, right? And so, you know, when we look at the mind, the Bible talks a lot about strongholds. And strongholds are basically just fortifications. And you can have, that can work either positively or negatively when you talk about a stronghold. Our minds can have positive, godly strongholds, and our minds can have negative things that are embedded, negative strongholds in our minds. So it can work to the positive or the negative. The more we pursue in our mind a thought or idea or principle, it will begin to build a fortification around that thought, idea, or principle. Now, if that thought comes from God, if that principle is from the Word of God, the more revelation and collaborative scripture that goes with that spiritual thought, the more it becomes embedded, it becomes fortified in our thought process. This is a positive stronghold, a positive fortification. Now, if we think on the other side, a stronghold can be negative. If we have an idea, a principle that comes from tradition, family culture, natural culture, popular culture. And the more we think about that thought and we pick up a little thoughts here and there that agree with that same concept or that false idea, it gets fortified in our thought process. Now we have a stronghold of dysfunction in our thought process that causes dysfunction in our life over and over and over again. Because now it's infinitely more powerful, because if it's in your thoughts, it will reproduce in your life over and over and over and over again, right? As a man thinks, so he becomes. Positive or negative, for the good or for the bad, as a man thinks, he becomes. Over and over and over again. Some people, they step back and they wonder, why does this keep on happening to me? Because your thought process is dysfunctional. You've got some fortifications. You've got some ideas that are dysfunctional, and they've been embedded and they've been fortified. There's a whole castle around that bad idea. And that bad idea is causing dysfunction in your life over and over and over again. Fortifications, strongholds in our mind. And this is a problem because the devil does this all the time. You watch a movie, you see something that seems cool, and then you forget it's in stark contrast to what God says in the Word. Or you hear a family member say something that sounds so right, but you forget that's not what Jesus said. That's the opposite. You see something on TV or a new song, and it feels so good emotionally. Feels good. Stick it to somebody. But you forget you're supposed to turn the other cheek. And that's the opposite of the lifestyle that Jesus lays out for us to live. When we begin to seek these things, allow these ideas, they can easily come into our life. This is why Scripture is always telling us, take captive, take captive, take captive. Why? Because if you don't speak to that thought, guess what? That thought is going to begin to get embedded. Because other ideas, and you watch another movie and another movie, another song, and it works together. It fortifies that idea in your thought process. I like to, if I'm watching something and I don't agree with it, I'll say, I don't agree with that. Or if I'm with my kids, parents, if you're with your kids and something happens, I turn to my kids and say, yeah, you know we don't agree with that, right? And they're like, yeah, Dad, I know. But it's important to say something, I don't agree with that, that's not the way I live my life, that's a dysfunctional thought, because I don't want that to become fortified in myself, in my family. So I'm speaking to it. A Christian is someone who is disciplined in their approach to life, right? Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I need to cast down every argument. Every single thing that I come in contact with, come across, even if I'm not saying it to the person, I'm saying it to myself. I'm casting that argument and high thing that's been exalted against the knowledge of God. So what's the knowledge of God? It's not just I know God or I know of God, right? It's all the knowledge that comes from God. Let me give you just a perspective shift. You need to cast down every argument or high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge that comes from God. I'm giving you something here, because if you get this in your mind and you make a practice of this, it's going to change your life. It's going to take you to another place of functionality. It's going to make you high capacity when you realize every single argument, every single thought that comes across you in movie, in a music, in conversation, even if you're not saying it to the person. Sometimes you need to say it to the person. But at the very least, you're saying it to yourself. You're saying, I'm casting down every argument or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge that comes from God. If you want to be fully functional in your mind, you're going to have to do some demolition work. You're going to have to take captive. You're going to have to root some stuff out. You're going to have to tear some stuff down. You're going to have to completely destroy some wrong thought processes. Now, this is just if you want to be high capacity. This is just if you want to be like Christ. You're going to have to tear down some thought processes. You're going to have to go home this week and you're going to have to think about this. You're going to have to take this home as homework in your prayer closet. When you're meditating and you're thinking and you're driving, you're saying, Holy Spirit, is there something in my life that needs to be torn down? Do I need to do some demolition work this week? Is there some things in this season, some fortifications, some ideas, some dysfunctional thoughts that need to be torn down? And it's hard work. You know, sometimes when we demolish stuff, say, hey, we're renovating the bathrooms, and people get the sledgehammers out, and it's fun sometimes, but other times it's hard work if there's a big thing that needs to be torn down. Some things in our mind are big. You're going to have to take that sledgehammer, and you're going to have to work at it. It didn't get there overnight, and it might not go away overnight. You got to work at it. You got to chip away at it. You got to partner with the Holy Spirit with it to take that thing down. You're going to have to lay to waste some fortifications and thought processes if you want to get to the place of full functionality. We're pressing, we're pushing, we're aiming, our goal is to be like Christ. He was fully functional. He was 100% effective. If we want to get to that place, want to keep on moving towards that place like Christ, we got to tear some things down in our lives. Our mind is a construction site, right? I'm going to construct some things. I'm going to demolition other things. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? How are we going to be transformed? We're going to renew our mind. If you want to be transformed and you want to be fully functional, you want to be like Christ, guess what? You're going to have to transform by the renewing of your mind. And then, only then, will you actually be able to test and approve what God's will. See, sometimes we don't even know what God's will is clearly because we got some strongholds and fortifications and some things that haven't been renewed in our mind and demolished in our mind. So we're not really clearly seeing or perceiving what God wants to do in our lives. God's got this big blessing. He's like, man, I want to make you fruitful. I want to make you high capacity. I got all these dreams. I got this destiny for you. But we can't even see it. We got this big castle in the way. And not a pretty one. Not like one of those Disney. No. It's an ugly old thing with dysfunctional thoughts inside of it. What do the tools of demolition look like? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God, how many servants of God do we have here? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that. I want you to think about this. God has given you at your disposal this tool belt, and he wants to thoroughly equip you with everything you need to build up and tear down. What is it? All scripture. All scripture is useful. It comes from God. It's God-breathed, and it's useful to you in your life, in your journey, in your spirituality, in the practicality of life. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful in your life. So what tool do you need today? There's a scripture that will destroy pride and build humility. There's a tool for that. There's a scripture that will destroy bad self-image and build up godly confidence. There's a tool for that. You got money problems. There's a scripture that will destroy poverty or greed and build up generosity and godly prosperity. There's a tool for that. You've been hurt, you've been mistreated, and you have trust issues. There's a scripture and a tool for that as well. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. Amen? Amen. Look at somebody and say, all scripture is useful. I'm going to put it in my tool belt today. God has already supplied you with the tools, with the equipment that you need. It's right here. You just have to learn how to use it. I had a chance, again, to work with David, and we were building some stuff with some of the men of the church yesterday. And you can't see it. It's a surprise. It's for next Sunday. But he knows how to use some tools that I don't know how to use. He gets out that circular saw and some different stuff, and like, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with that yet. I need these fingers for playing piano. And but the more that we become familiar with the Word of God and the character of God and the teachings of Christ, guess what? We're going to know how to use these tools better. To build up, to tear down. To build up, to tear down. And so it's not that David is better than I am. It's just that David knows how to use some tools that I don't know how to use yet. And so he's seeing some different results in his life because of how he's using tools. The same tools that are available to me, I could go down to Lowe's or Home Depot right now and pick up the same exact tools. But I might not know which tools to buy. I might not know how to use them. And this is the difference in knowing God and learning his word and going on a journey with God. You don't have to be perfect, but you need to keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Every time we get together, I'm studying what David's doing. I'm learning something.
Learning how to use a new tool. Amen. You got to study. God wants to give you these things. All scripture is useful and is God-breathed. Now, I want to make something really, really clear to us today. Can I make something clear today? And I just want you to promise you'll still love me after I make it clear to you. Just say, Pastor Josh, I'm still going to love you after you tell me this truth. All right, here we go. Any family, cultural, or social principle that you're living by that cannot be traced back to the Word of God has got to go. If you cannot trace that cultural, family, social idea, principle back to the Word of God, it's not going to benefit you. Do yourself a tremendous favor and root it out, rip it out, tear it down, because it's only going to cause you to be dysfunctional in the end. There is no excuse for a believer to knowingly continue to live by principles that have no connection to the Word of God. There's no excuse. There's no excuse, guys. Whenever the Holy Spirit shows you, you got to take action. He says, You see it whether it's on Sunday or during the week, and God exposes it and says, hey, this is not me. You got to say, okay, I'm bringing out the sledgehammer. I'm bringing out the wrecking ball, and we're taking that fortification down. There is no excuse for a believer to knowingly continue to live by principles that have no connection to the Word of God. Even if it seems like a good principle, it seems logical, it seems like it works. And my mom did it, my grandma did it, my dad did it, my granddad did it. Can you trace it back to the Word of God? It's got to go. It's got to go. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can't bring that old into this new. Doesn't work. Some people are under the misguided concept that sometimes you're going to need some additional content and principle with the scripture to help round out your life. Anybody heard this? You've been there, you've heard a friend, you've heard somebody, social media, something, somebody say, well, you know, it's also, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'll also, you know, no. Jesus is complete. The Word of God is complete. Everything that you need to be equipped with can be found in the principles of God. And if you think that you're smarter than this, let me quote from the smartest man that ever lived, also happens to be the richest man, even by secular standards, that ever lived. Let me quote from him, Ecclesiastes 1:9. He said, what has been will be again. And what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Oh, you know this. You know this saying, okay? You know this principle. So the truth of the matter is, if there's a bad idea, it's not a new bad idea. It's been around for a while. And if it's a good idea, it's not a new good idea. It's been around for a while. So if I can't trace your good idea back to the Word of God, guess what? I don't need it. I don't need it, because if it's good and it's useful to build me up, to help me, to cause me to be successful, guess what? It's already in the Word of God. It might use different words or verbiage, but it's already there. I can see the principles of God. Sometimes businessmen sometimes stumble upon Word of God, or maybe they have a Christian background and you can see this, or you can see that, or you can see this. And I'll take that and I'll run with it if I can trace it back to the Word of God. But if I can't trace it back to the Word of God, I know even if it sounds good, it's going to make my life dysfunctional somehow. Because everything that you need for this Christian life is in Christ. If I want to be like Christ, I can't add anything additional onto it. If I'm going to be like Christ, I need to be like Christ. If I'm going to think like Christ, I need to think like Christ. I need to have the mind of Christ. I need to have the same thought process, the same lens for taking in life. God wants us to be fully functional. Fully functional. And how does that happen? One of the main ways that it happens is we tear down old thought processes that come from dysfunctional worldly ideas. It can come from what we perceive. It can come from movies. It can come from popular culture. It can come from family culture. It can come from national culture. Guys, guess what? You're a part of a new nationality. It's called the kingdom of God. Before I am white, I'm a Christian. All right. Whatever combination of things that I am, not going to get into it. Irish, American Indian, whatever. Before any of that, and more important than any of that, I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That is the most important thing, and it is so far superior to any earthly heritage or national affiliation that I have. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I work by these principles of the kingdom of heaven. I operate by the thought process and the teachings of Christ. God wants us to be fully functional. We need to tear down old thought processes that come from dysfunctional worldly ideas and build up and fortify thought processes around the principles of God. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. Paul said it, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. This is the way to be fully functional. How? Start thinking more and more like Jesus. Every day, I want to think a little bit more like Jesus. I'm on a journey towards Jesus. I might not have it all right today. I might not be perfect today, but I'm moving in the direction of Jesus. I'm moving in the direction of the thought process that Jesus had. And it's causing me to be successful. It's causing me to be functional once again. The Christ mentality is going to make you undefeated. It's going to make you more than a conqueror. The Christ mentality is going to make you fully functional. It's going to make you successful. It's going to cause you to be fulfilled. It's going to cause you to be happy, full of the joy of the Lord. And it's what God wants for all of us. He doesn't want any of us having this dysfunctional thought processes. He doesn't want any of us having toxic emotions like we talked about last Sunday. God wants us to be fully functional. Will you bow your heads with me for a second? I want to pray with you today because I think this is so important. This is like so on time because we look around in the world today and we see so much dysfunction all around us. And we see dysfunctional ideas running rampant everywhere. You don't have to look far to find ideas that are in contrast to the Word of God. God, give us the discernment. God, give us the discernment to see what is you and what is not. What thoughts, what principles come from you and what is from the enemy. God, your desire and your design for us is not limiting. It's true freedom. Your design and your commands and your teachings, they don't limit us. They make us successful. They make us have a rich and satisfying and overflowing life. God, give us a healthy thought life, a fully functional thought life. Give us that mind of Christ. And Holy Spirit, today, in this week, in this season, if there's some things that you want to put a spotlight on because they need to come down, God, show us, and we'll pull out the sledgehammer. We'll pull out the wrecking ball. We'll begin the process of tearing down those old ways of thinking. We only ask, Holy Spirit, that you partner with us, help us, give us the strength, give us the direction as we tear down old fortifications and we build up new ones. New ones that will cause us to be fruitful. New ones that will cause us to be faithful. New ones that will cause us to be successful. New ones that will cause us to be the image of the redeemed man that you've called us to be. Men and women of God. Sons and daughters of God. Ones with true heritage. Kingship. God, I thank you, Lord, that your desire and your design for us is to live a life that is undefeated. More than conquerors. Through the power of Christ Jesus. Through the power of Christ-like thinking. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds today. And maybe as we're sitting here today and we got our eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to make sure that I'm at the right place with Jesus. I just want you to slip up your hand and let me pray with you today. Amen, amen, amen. This is the most important decision that we make. The most important decision is first, we need to say yes to Jesus. Once we say yes to Jesus, then he comes in and he begins to help us and partner with us and transform some things, change some things, help us get the bad thinking out and get the right thinking in. If you lift up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can agree with us and say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you for loving me. You loved me so much. You died on the cross for me. You suffered for me to make my life better, to redeem me from all my shortcomings, all my failures, all my sins. Jesus, help me. I need you. I'm sorry for doing it my way. I'm sorry for getting off track. Help me live like you. Help me think like you. I accept your free gift of salvation. I accept your free gift of walking this life with me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and let's give God a praise today. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you, whatever season of your life that you're in, always say yes to Jesus. He's always challenging you to do something more, to do something greater, to take a new step in your destiny and your purpose. If you made a decision for Christ or rededicated your life today, I want to encourage you, get connected. Get connected to this family or a church family that will walk with you. We'd love for it to be us, but the most important thing is that you connect with a family today. We have amazing classes we have that you can take and learn about what this life of Christ is all about and what we do here at Hope. We have amazing groups that you can get into. There's nothing like growing when you got some people around you that also want to grow and will help you grow. And so that's what we do in Hope Groups. So I encourage you today, and whatever you're going to face this week, remember that if God is with you and if Jesus is with you, you are undefeated.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.